Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the most fraudulent F1 podcast with Dan, aka Engine Mode 11.
I secretly moonlight as Helmut Marko at race weekends.
And Blake, aka Break.
Echo chambers of farts and idiots on Twitter after races.
It's the Engine Breaking F1 podcast.
I just kind of want to let that intro like vibe out for a little
just
bit.
Hang,
I love that intro.
Hang in the air.
Love that intro. Ah, what episode is this? Is this like 11 or 12 maybe?
We're 11. We are officially at episode Checo.
We've made it. Episode Sergio Perez. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Engine Breaking Podcast. My name is Blake, a failed Formula One engineer who knows nothing about Formula One. Who are you?
Yeah, and I'm Dan, aka Engine Mode 11, who is also another failed F1 engineer. And now we create this shite podcast called Engine Breaking.
It is pretty fucking terrible, let's be honest. But everybody, welcome. We're glad you're here. We've just gone through the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. And to be fair, I'm not sure what Grand Prix was worse. I know 2021 was controversial, but I went back and watched it. It was terrible. It was terrible until Latifi binned it. And in this one, there was a little bit going on, a little bit of variability. But we'll get to that in a second. So this is going to be our final race review of the season. We're going to get a couple more episodes in. We've got some other stuff to talk about. We've got a couple really cool guests for you, and I'm totally making that up right now. I need to call them right now. But we'll figure something out, and we'll keep you guys entertained in this off season, because I know that it's kind of lonely without Formula One, and if you're like me, you have nothing else to do with your life.
Yeah, well, maybe I could suggest you getting 3 children. That will certainly liven up your Christmas period.
Now, I've actually bought a plunge saw, I bought a table saw, I bought a bunch of other stuff. I'm going to start making furniture in the off season. I've got a bar. I've got some stuff in the living room to make. So that's going to be how I fill my time. And I'm also going to keep working on F1 videos. But maybe now that there's no races, I can do some other interesting, informative, analytical stuff, which is based on my complete failure of a career as an engineer with zero wheel knowledge. And Red Bull fired me because I was terrible, is what happened.
This is all true. But in case anyone wants to go check out that content, where could they find it, Blake?
Break F1 on YouTube, so and TikTok, but mostly YouTube. But that's what I'm doing. Are you going to do any F1 videos over the winter break? Or are you going to give it a rest until next season and go again with the Thursday tea time?
I'm just going to say no, because my schedule is about as reliable as a plumber's estimate.
Yeah, I got you. All right. Well, if they did want to find you, is it Engine Mode 11 on YouTube for when you do get back on that grind?
Yes, Engine Mode 11 on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and
all that jazz.
TikTok. Again, TikTok's another app that I decided to abandon after 2 videos. So,
Well, here we are. Let's get into it. Let's start off with the weekly news, because as it is the end of the season, there's been a whole lot of stuff that's been up in the air. We've had a couple of not really any bombshells dropped on us, but what do we got?
Well, we got the official announcement that Hülkenberg is back at Haas. Poor old Mick got dropped. So, Hülkenberg, I think I've been quite vocal about this in the past, right? So, I think I'm not feeling it. I don't really think this is going to work out.
I'm not, on one hand, like, because I never worked, when I was at Force India, Nico was on the other car for, I think, two different times during the 3 year period I was there, or he was in and out, or maybe when I wasn't at track. But like, I like Nico and he's a good driver and he's a solid driver. But like, Mick seems like he's coming around. Like, he needs some more time. He needs some more love. That car is not excellent on a good day. And that's not a dig at them. It's just, that's the struggle of a lower end of the midfield team. And that's a lot to take on for a new guy. Like, if he'd been in a decent car, fine. But even Latifi seemed to struggle a lot more with this car this year. Like, I don't remember him being that far off all the time last year, whereas I think Mick's done all right. It's
he
really
had a rough start, didn't he, to the season?
He did. But I feel like he's grown a lot. And
I would have given Mick another year.
But I would have too.
I don't work or manage an F1 team. I just sit here and make this shite podcast, so what the fuck do I know? But
as little as I do.
I'll give Nico a chance, and if he comes good, I'll hold my hands up and say I was wrong. But yeah, at the minute, I just think I'm not so keen on that.
Yeah, I'm not either. But you know what? I like Nico. I think he'll do a reasonable job. Kevin's done a pretty good job as well. But that car's just been all over the shop, so that's really difficult. But I, for some reason, I don't feel as attached to this next point as I should be, being an American. What do we got? What's the next on the?
A few hours ago, Logan Sargeant got announced.
Yeah,
so this will be interesting because we do have quite a large American contingency that follow us and listen to
checking
this.
Checking the stats. Let's go, Dan. Americans.
40. It's gone up to 40% now.
USA. USA.
Yeah, and they are currently playing in the World Cup. So
USA.
If you're listening to this after. I'm either very happy for you or very sad. Let's see if I can find it. Yeah, anyway, Logan Sargeant. Oh, they're beating Wales 1-0 at halftime currently. Logan Sargeant finally got his enough super license points when he finished in the F2 race. I can't remember where he finished. I think he needed to finish above P6, so he obviously did it. He got crowned Rookie of the Year as well in F2. So there you go.
Go on, lad.
Finished the season in P4 with 2 wins and a further 2 podium appearances. So there you go. You've got an American driver back on the grid. And you obviously sound very thrilled about that.
Honestly, it'll be cool seeing more Americans on the grid. I have not been following Formula 2 this season, so I don't have an attachment to it. But at the same time, It's good for the sport, I think, in the long run. But I hope he does well. I hope he does well.
Yeah, I think, you know, if he does come through well, it'll be good for the American market. We got, 3 races there now next year? An American driver. Yeah. So, you know, opening those markets up. But full-on fraudulent alert. I don't really follow the rookie category, so I couldn't tell you if he's any good or not. But if he's finished P4, then... you know, we'll see. Oh, he's from Florida as well, apparently. So there you go. Miami home race.
Latifi won F2 after like 6 seasons of it. Yeah, but enough
Julian Palmer won F2 as well when it was GP2. So just because you win a junior category doesn't mean you've can jump into the ring with Ali and Box.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, these dudes are probably reasonable. It's just the F1 car is like you don't get a whole lot of chances. You rock up and you do it or you don't do it. If the car doesn't suit you or you don't understand the car, you're not getting a whole lot of shots, man. It's like, oh, that's nuts. But what else we got? Congrats to Logan, though.
Yeah, good for him. Well done. GG. F1 commission meeting. So the F1 had like a final meeting of the F1 commission just before Abu Dhabi, and quite a lot of sort of changes and points came out of it. So one of them was they are looking to undertake a comprehensive review of the sporting regulations for 2024. Any changes they do make to that, we'll probably know when they get approved by the end of April next year. So the sporting regulations, it's not technical. sporting regulations are like driving penalties and things like that.
They're like the overtaking rules of conduct kind
yeah
of thing.
Things like that, yeah, not necessarily the technical side of things like how you should design the car and things like that, but this is they're going to review like the driver penalties and things like that.
Yep. That's on that note, I think, so we talked about it last week, so the blanket temperature revision is being changed for next season, blah blah blah, they're going to look at reducing them, but I think they're not actually pulling the trigger on no blankets for 24 until they make a decision in like June of next season. So
correct.
That's another one of the things on the sporting technical side.
They push that bad boy back to next year in terms of a decision.
They really, really need to sort out something with testing. But I went on about that last week. But realistically, Pirelli needs to sort something about testing in order to properly test these tires, because they can do it. But doing these free practice test sessions of an hour is not a proper way to go tire testing. It's asinine. And I think they know that as well, but the teams are pushing back because of costs, engine mileage, and all this other stuff. And the FIA are like, kind of sitting there like, what do we do?
Yeah, well, they kind of bought it on themselves, didn't they, with the cost cap, and made it so complicated trying to figure out what comes under the cost cap and are you allowed to use a current car for a tire test? And if you're not, then what's the point of the tire test? And
That's another complication, is it's just a new formula of cars so that you don't have any mule cars possible. Now that they've got, you know, an 18-inch car, but a lot of these bits and pieces could be rolled over to next season as well. So the cost is still a thing.
Correct.
But anyway.
Speaking of tires, here's a fun one. So they've commenced a study to define a package of parts aiming to suppress the spray generated when running in wet conditions. So basically, and they literally say this in brackets, wheel arches. They want to stick wheel arches on the car during an extreme wet to reduce the spray.
So, but like if you do wheel arches, you'd have to have them always on and we would not have open wheel racing.
Well, apparently they're looking at a way of doing it so you can fit them during a red flag.
I feel like this is me being one of those old grumpy farts. It's like, that's fucking stupid, man. But that is fucking stupid, man. Like, at the end of the day, it's an open wheel car. They will generate spray. I feel like the bigger problem is the fact that Pirelli struggled to make a good full wet tire. And that, coupled with the fact that the race officials do not want to run in full wet.
Correct. So my easy suggestion to make that achievable is to just raid the Formula E parts bin and just stick the wheel arches on from them.
Send it, mate.
Exactly. Job done. FIA, thank you. That'll be $2 million.
Cheers, lads.
Yep. Consultancy fee.
Ladies. Exactly. What else we got in the FIA commission?
They have approved a proposal to evaluate the changing of the way DRS works. So I think at the moment it's on lap two it's activated. I can't remember myself. This is how fraudulent I am.
It is lap two.
But now they're looking to bring that forward to like the first lap. And they're going to trial it at the sprint sessions in 2023 with a view to introduce it for all races in 2024.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Like I say, trial it. Why not? And here's the last point is my favorite one, because I heard you go on a rant about this the other day. They're looking at ways to simplify the Parc Fermé processes at events that include a sprint session. Because
what are they going to do with that?
I don't know. They haven't said yet. They're still looking at it. But I know you're a big fan of it being called free practice two when the cars are actually in Parc Fermé and they can't make any changes.
Unfree practice two. You can run high fuel.
Yeah.
Which is what people tend to do in those sessions. Okay.
But it looks like they're going to simplify it because they got fed up of all the requests to change things overnight.
Yeah. So just to clarify, before the DRS was disabled for the first two laps, now it will only be disabled for the first lap. So instead of the DRS opening on lap three, it will open on lap two. I saw a couple of people in the live stream chat mentioning that, and that was...
You could have claimed that for yourself and sounded like you knew.
I did know that, but I didn't appreciate it that we didn't phrase it in a way that made sense. But yeah.
He didn't have a fucking clue.
The FIA has enabled the DRS.
So that was it for the F1 commission meeting, I think, pretty much. And then F1 announced something, didn't they?
Yeah, they waited for the W Series to tank itself. And then they're like, we've got our own series, motherfuckers. But what do we got here? An all-new female driver series for 2023.
Yes. Apparently, F1 are going to subsidize 150 euros towards the costs of the car.
150,000 euros. It's like, here's, sorry, some, what did I say? Here's a couple cent. You said 150.
Oh, just, yeah, just 150 euros. That's it.
Here's about 5 sandwiches from Red Bull's catering. You guys have fun.
Sorry, 150,000 euros towards the car cost. And then the driver has to cover that same amount.
Okay. So they need to do that with sponsorship.
Yeah. But basically,
that's
goal.
Not much.
No.
An F2 season is what? Like over 1.5 to 2 million now?
I believe it's something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause like buying a seat in some of the lower teams, like back in the last couple of years, the driver would need to bring, you know, 10 mil in sponsorship. But I think an F2 season in a top team is somewhere close to 2 million. I might have misspoken slightly on that, but I think it's close. So 150 grand. Well, that's the difference though. Cause W Series is like, you guys don't need, women do not need to do anything. We'll provide the series. We'll provide the sponsorship. And there wasn't enough sponsorship in the end. And they got to the end of the season. They pulled the plug on W Series with a couple of races to go, which sucked for not only everybody competing, but all the engineers and staff. I know a friend, my friend Katie, and a couple of other people that were engineers for that series. And, you know, that's kind of pulled out from the bottom, which sucks. So,
but in the announcement for this, they mentioned W Series as like a step above this, like a feeder series to W Series, which I thought was a bit funky.
That's weird.
Yeah. So I don't really know. I think we'll have to wait and see on this one.
I got the impression from that graphic that basically it goes something like F1 Academy into F3 into F2, and then that way they're starting these women at a younger age, because I don't know what the age range of the W Series was, but for the most part, I think people need to start, you know, quit just talking about it, make it happen, and find these people, these up and coming talents, and support them through their younger careers. Like this is from karting. And it just happens to be one of those things where it's mostly lads right now, but hopefully that's changing. And I feel like we need to get, I feel like Tony is super in touch with this topic.
I value her opinion on Tony chat, I think.
Yeah. I value her feedback on that, but it has to start much earlier than right. Here you go. Here's a F4 car.
Yeah, the cynic in me says that it sounds a little bit like a box-ticking exercise, but we'll see. We'll see.
Not that that's a good thing. I was like, that doesn't. It needs to be a genuine effort, because it's weird.
Yeah.
2022, no female driver in F1. So
there you go. Hot rumor. Hot.
Go on.
Boiling hot rumor.
Oh my God! Is this breaking? Breaking?
I don't think it's breaking. I think we had it maybe before the Abu Dhabi race, but
pre-broken.
Mattia Binotto apparently is going to be replaced by Fred Vasseur from Alfa Romeo. Now, the reason why I think this is probably going to happen is because Ferrari issued a statement denying it. So that's that.
Categorically, categorically. So that means it's true. But is Binotto going to get the sack, or is he going to go back to a technical role? Because that is his wheelhouse. It's not politics and team principling.
Yeah,
he was a technical.
As an engineer, he's, you know, top dog. I can't fault him for that, because you look at the car this year, the Ferrari car wasn't that bad, you know. Mm. I think they were let down a lot more from strategy and things like that. So in terms
they've got some operational issues for sure, but technically the car rocked up and it was good. And it does, I don't want to go too far into this, but I feel like a lot of the speculations about teams and performance over the summer break with the regs change about the floor, the technical directive, and regarding the plank and bottoming metrics and everything else, I think they got smacked by it the hardest. I think they were hit the hardest by it.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Technical directive 39.
Yeah.
Slapped at the belt.
Oof. Here's something. Hey, this next thing is super cool. This is super close to home. Are you excited?
Yeah, Chad, sure. Why excited? Not? Yes.
Yes. Friends and colleagues in the Twitch live stream, what do you guys think about this one? Spill the beans, bro.
Red Bull are doing a show car run in Milton Keynes on the 10th of December.
Don't
really went into song for that one. But yeah, no, it's only Saturday. Down the road for me and you, isn't it? So we'll probably rock up.
It's a Saturday. So if anybody is around Milton Keynes, Dan and I will be there. And we'll be sure to line something up so we can say hi to anybody that wants to just say hi. Like, this has been a super, super cool thing doing this podcast, and the fact that our old colleagues are having a little show run to celebrate the championship in the center of Milton Keynes. So I'll be there.
Can we use any of our influence to, I don't know. I mean,
I'm going to race engineer the car.
Are you?
Not really. Sweet. I'm just saying that out loud so that I can do it.
You can sort of will it into existence.
Yeah, mate. All right, mate. Do some donuts, brother. All right. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, no.
Well, it's the old V8, so you got experience in that, right?
Yeah, I've never ran a Renault V8. God. I mean, the Renault did, like, to be fair, Renault did help the team a lot in the exhaust blowing V8 days. You know, that was something, but God, as soon as that V6 showed up, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so I'm going to drive the car. They're going to widen it just to get my fat ass into it.
They just won't put a seat bucket in there. You'll be good.
There's going to be no porpoising on that bad boy.
Yeah.
It's just going to be bottomed out. Red Bull show run, Milton Keynes, 10th of December. We'll be there. We're going to do something. Maybe we'll just go out for drinks somewhere or something. I don't know. We'll figure something out. Throw tomatoes at us. Give us a high five. Boo us. Congratulate us. I don't care what you do. Just say hello.
Yeah. Say hi. We're friendly. You know what we look like, especially if you're watching the podcast on YouTube. Engine braking. Lol. But so we've got that. We've got the show. And we've got a couple of retirements this season. So the Tiffy's left the sport. And he had a tough time. And that can't be fun. But he's gone. But also, I mean, this is a little bit of one. And I didn't really stop to think about it until later. But Sebastian Vettel retires, and it's been pretty interesting, because when I didn't start watching Formula One until 2007 ish, and when I was finishing up uni and moving over here, was, you know, the Red Bull glory days, and seeing that was so freaking motivating to see, like, the fizzy drinks company, right? It can be this super nimble organization. They get a bunch of really clever engineers and they rock up and they destroy these other teams that are, you know, automotive manufacturers. They're factory backed teams. And you see that, and it's like, that is so cool. I want to be a part of that. And then you've seen him change and evolve a lot, you know, through his four championships and then through his Ferrari years and now at Aston, and just like a super complete, super genuine dude who's been a human. He's been made a lot of mistakes.
Yep.
You know, like, he's been controversial. He's had all sorts of falling outs with his teammates. It's the true evolution of a championship. And in his old age, not even old age, you know, in his maturity, he's shown what that kind of being a champion looks like.
I will say, and I will big up the F1 Beyond the Grid podcast. They did an episode with him talking about his retirement, and that was really good. So I recommend
to check that out.
I think he's about an hour and a half. And he sort of goes through everything. And it's a real good episode. So, yeah, I would thoroughly recommend that.
Did you get emotional?
I got emotional because I was listening to it as I was driving through London.
Yeah,
and
okay.
I was emotional.
Road rage.
Yeah, I was shouting at taxi drivers and bus drivers and Deliveroo riders and things like that.
Oh, I love it, man. Why don't we get into the weekend? Here's the last thing I'll see, and I'll throw this one out there without any context or any expectation of conclusion. Is, are we going to see the same type of arc with Max right now, because Max is on his second driver's championship, you know, and some very similar things, are very single-minded, self-focused attitude about winning championships. And I feel like, it on one hand, you know, it's not winning him any favors with fans and anything else, but on the other hand, it's like, possibly that single-mindedness is characteristic. So are we going to see him go the way of Alonso or Vettel?
I don't know. Probably it does seem you can make a lot of comparisons and parallels with Vettel, can't you? Back then, the team seemed very focused around Vettel. And, you know, some people were like poor Mark Webber. And people are saying it now with Checo, aren't they? Sort of like the team is too focused on Max. So, you know, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But without good, bad, indifferent, I'm really this, I mean, this is a really interesting story. And this is just the beginning of that story. And I think we're going to be around to enjoy the rest of it. So,
yeah, big up Vettel. Shame he's leaving. He's done a lot for the sport. And I hope somehow he can still contribute to the sport for the betterment in the future.
I think we're not done with Seb. Seb's not done with the sport.
Yeah.
In a wider sense. So I'm looking forward to that as well. He's a super inspiring dude.
Yeah. He also was in your first interview as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, he did interview me at Red Bull and then he left a Ferrari, that rat.
Yep. That's what he thought about you. He'd rather switch teams than work with you.
Well, I was so fucking washed that they hired me to be four-time world champion Seb Vettel's performance engineer. And then he left because he heard I was coming. So fair enough.
Yeah, understandable.
He did reach out later on. I don't think I've talked about that. And I probably shouldn't, but he did reach out later on. But I was like, I'm done at the track, man. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to go be a factory rat for a while. And he's like, okay, fair enough.
Sorry. Should we get into the actual weekend?
Let's go. We got Abu Dhabi Friday, free practice one.
Boom. All the rookies. So Felipe Drugovic for Aston Martin. I say all the rookies, and the next one is Robert Kubica for Alfa Romeo. He's hardly a rookie, but big up Kubica. I know he's very well loved. Liam Lawson in the Red Bull, Robert Schwartzman in the Ferrari, Jack Doohan in the Alpine.
Man.
Yeah, I'm still going, right? O'Ward in the McLaren, Pietro Fittipaldi in the Haas, who was also announced as a Red Bull Junior this week.
Yeah, let's go, man.
Yeah. And Logan Sargeant in the Williams. But it didn't go completely to plan. O'Ward had a gearbox issue on his outlap, and that sort of robbed him of quite a lot of time. Logan Sargeant had a spectacular moment going into turn one. I don't know if you've seen this.
I missed that completely.
Oh, man, it was brilliant. So he had like as he was going on the outside to go into turn one, I think he went too far on the paint or whatever, and he spun out, and he literally missed putting it into the wall by like a few centimeters. Yeah, man. So well done him for not smashing it up.
Apparently Lawson was pretty rapide.
He was, yes. He did seem very quick. He was quicker than
Checo. I'm a big fan of him.
Which was quite amusing.
I'm a big fan of Lawson. When we were going to and from the track, I was in the same car with him in Austin, just chatting with him, because I hadn't seen him since I worked with him in the sim. And he's just a sound dude. Super, super bright kid.
Apparently everybody
loves him.
Apparently he was 0.2 off Checo. Sorry, maybe I got that wrong. But it's FP1, and the times don't fucking mean a thing in FP1.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But let's just say he's in the ballpark.
Yeah.
You know, he's in the ballpark.
And we had a lot of teams running prototype 2023 floors. So we saw quite a lot of flow viz and aero rakes. There'll be absolutely nothing for us as outsiders to look at in regards to that. So don't even bother. But they're obviously just using it as a semi little test session for next year.
Yeah, they're just going to be checking that, you know, that there's, for example, one of the biggest things that caught all the teams out this year was porpoising. So it was not predicted in the tunnel. It was not predicted in CFD. You go run the cars on the track and there's either instabilities or sensitivities that neither of those tools captured. So that's why if you can run these components on track, track time is king. Real track data is the best. That will help you understand the models, make sure that your wind tunnel makes sense. If not, understand it. CFD doesn't make sense. Okay, now you can understand it. Now that you've got an understanding of the flow structures and everything else. So super important to get an eye in on that stuff with a real car.
Yep, all about validating your work.
Hmm.
FP2, obviously all the regular drivers were back in. Not a lot of drama. The only interesting thing I saw was, I think it was Will Buxton on F1 TV, noticed that the McLaren pit box had like a different surface on it. So it looked like it's done like a concrete repair. So all the pit lane was like textured concrete. And then
for like smooth this slab,
yeah, there's like this smooth slab right on the McLaren pit box. So there were quite a few. Lando and Danny were complaining that it was affecting their entry into the box. So, yeah, I didn't really know what we're going to do about that, but it was a genuine issue because the poor front jack man was at risk of
skirt.
Yeah, exactly. Getting injured. But,
oh my dude, there's I gotta throw a meme in there. I'm not gonna say who it was, but at a Silverstone test with the Force India one time, we had I gotta wind back. This is gonna fucking kill me, man. So there was a test driver in Silverstone test. It was a cold winter day, and all this stuff had happened, and there was basically a new front jack man trialing, you know, because like a winter test, off season test. It was cold. We're at Silverstone, we're at Force India, up the road. One of the new lads had stood in to be front jack man. Well, the driver wasn't particularly good at warming up the brakes, and carbon brakes need a little bit of temperature in them to work. I'm standing at the table looking out the garage, and I see unnamed driver steaming into the box, mate. And then all I see is the front jack man do a flip. He was okay. He was bruised up. So it's not a joke. He was bruised up. And then, he steamrolled the dude, and he's okay. But later the driver was going on like, yeah, I don't really like the starts procedure, talking about the procedure of the clutch and everything. He's like, yeah, I don't really like your starts procedure. And the controls engineer just looks at him and goes, I don't really like your stopping procedure either, but get on with it. He absolutely crucified the dude. I was like, oh my God. Oh, that was so spicy. Mm. Yeah, but
was that during, if only that was during Netflix DTS era.
Oh my God, I don't like your stopping procedure. But it wasn't Dresta, no. But that's another thing is during a race weekend, you don't see it during practice, but what teams will often do, if it's a wet weekend, they do nothing. If it's likely to be wet during the race, they won't do anything. But if it's a dry weekend during practice, I don't know if they're doing it anymore, but they will often come into the pit lane and lay rubber in the box. Do they still do that or no?
Yeah.
So they will literally, so what they'll do is they'll stop the cars probably 2 feet short of the marks or further, wheel them back, and the drivers will leave the box and just leave as much rubber as possible so that when they're braking on Sunday for their pit stops, they've got a little bit extra grip.
Yep.
We have somebody in the know confirmed that they still lay rubber. I wasn't sure if they outlawed that procedure because they always are tightening up on procedures such as bite point fines and, you know, clutch and start stuff, but they will actually lay rubber in the box if it's going to be a dry weekend so that they can increase the grip in the box.
Yeah. And when they come to an end of a run, when they come into the box, a lot of the times they'll do like a practice pit stop before they wheel them back in as well.
Exactly. Just using up all that time, getting all the mechanics' eyes in, working with the gear as well. We've seen a couple of gear failures this weekend, guns not working, swapping them, brain fade, Ferrari strategies and all that. But so that's P2. P2 didn't happen.
No, like, nothing really dramatic in P2. I should know because I took the pleasure of watching it.
I didn't bother, honestly. I just looked at the data afterwards and it looked like it was basically Red Bull quick and then high fuel runs. It looked like Red Bull were quite strong on their high fuel runs.
A lot of the teams were splitting wing levels between the two drivers as well. So it was a little bit of shenanigans going on there.
Yeah, so probably what they were looking at is checking if high downforce versus the slightly lower downforce has any improvements on the degradation or not. And as we'll get into it during the race, degradation and whether it's a one stop or a two stop was a very big topic, which made this race far superior to Abu Dhabi 2021. Although there was only P2 for the championship is not that exciting. P1, very exciting. P2, I struggled to get too excited about it. Just never mind the fact that it would have been great to see Checo win that. But anyway,
yeah, FP3. So McLaren got their pit box resurfaced overnight. Good for them. Gasly had a bit of an incident where I think he had like a puncture and it resulted in taking off that little, I don't know what the technical fucking term for it is, but you know, the bit that goes over the front wheel, the aero deflector at the front over the front wheel, took that off. And that was on the track. So that caused a red flag. And then we had our first bit of drama where Hamilton overtook one of the Haases and Gasly, I think.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was those two.
What was that? Like, was it a fuss with the marshalling system and lights and flags and all that?
I didn't read that part in particular. All I read was the difference in speed. That Hamilton had like 140 kilometers difference between those two cars. and him when the red flag come out. So basically it was just overspeed. So
yeah,
it completely makes sense that he didn't get punished for that.
No.
So yeah, you can't just go to zero when a red flag comes out when you're at that speed.
No, you can't.
So.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that's super weird. It's like, as soon as somebody steps up, it's like Twitter's like, oh, fucking penalize. It's like, dude, come on, as anybody else sitting at home TV, let the stewards have a chat with the driver, understand what happened, and get on with it. We don't need freaking Twitter court. And like, I'm so annoyed when you have like infractions like that impact the weekend. It's like, come on. Like, they're just boring.
Yeah, but common sense prevailed, so.
Yeah, good.
There you go.
Good.
That was all of our drama in free practice sessions.
Ooh, free practice is over.
Yeah.
Now we qualify.
Now we're qualifying, baby.
You know what? Going from that qualifying session in Brazil, which was changeable weather and all sorts of chaos, man, I was hyped, and especially hyped to see Kevin Magnussen taking pole. You know, even though it was like, you know, that was one of those things where you might not have the outright pace, but you do all the right things. You're on the track at the right time. You nail your lap, and you can reap the rewards of doing a good job in that session. And Kevin, the amount of celebration that he had was so great. Like, I love seeing the underdog celebrate, because you see, you know, Max wins his, 15th race of the season. And he's like, cheers, lads. You know, because it's like you've not really had that much of a challenge this season. Let's call it what it is. Maybe earlier in the season, it was challenging for other reasons, but now it's just like, you know, it's like, well done, lads. Thanks. And there's no, like, you don't have that excitement or the emotion, just like you don't have any excitement over cinching up or not cinching P2. We got Q1. We got Q1. This session was not as good.
We had like a sort of regular in terms of the order. But again, we had this bloody issue where all the cars decided to sort of park up on the final two corners. So much so that I went and rewatched qualifying today. And a lot of them triggered the stop messages on the GPS system because of how slow they were going. And Alonso's car even went into anti-stall.
Oh, because he's like,
yeah.
So he's in first gear and the revs are so low that the engine's like, I'm going to open the clutch for you because you're about to stall the engine, you dork.
Yeah, so that's how slow they were going. Then we had the war crime of the century.
Oh, I can't believe that he got away with that.
Yeah, so as they were all queuing up, Verstappen was behind a few other cars. Hamilton was behind him. So Verstappen basically, he didn't want to let Hamilton pass. So he's sort of drifted slightly into the middle to sort of say, hey, please don't overtake me. I'm in the middle of a prep lap
here. I've waited my turn for the queue of cars, just the same as you've done. If you have a problem, take it up with your race engineer for dropping you and this timing in traffic.
Yep. But Hamilton overtakes him anyway. There was a bit of movement to the right on Verstappen's wheel as Hamilton overtook him. And that was it, basically. The internet wanted to string him up for attempted murder on Lewis Hamilton.
I think that's probably a full one-season ban. I'll tell you what that is exactly like. There's a slip road near where I used to head to work. And it's a very wide one, and it's one lane, but it's wide enough just in case there's an emergency and other cars can get around. And there's usually somebody's trying to get around. I just make my van a little bit wider than it needs to be so that they're discouraged from doing that. I haven't been taken to jail yet, which is good. And I don't think so, but
it's just a case of Verstappen doesn't want to yield his position in the queue, and Lewis doesn't want to wait because his prep is probably different on the Mercedes to the Red Bull, where he can't afford to slow down because he needs the heat, whereas Max can afford to. So it's not a big deal, man. It's just a qualifying thing.
Yeah. But what do we get? Latifi, Albon, Bottas, Gasly, Magnussen knocked out in Q1. Big sad.
Yeah, I don't know what was wrong with Gasly. He just didn't have the pace.
He didn't get a good lap together. His best sectors, like, he could have been into Q2. But he didn't get all the sectors together at once. So we'll see how he does in Alpine next season. Hopefully they have their engine a little bit more reliable, because he's not had a very exciting season, has he?
No, not really. Sort of Latifi, Albon, the usual suspects there. Bottas, Gasly, Magnussen. Shame for Magnussen after his time out in Brazil. But yeah, Q2. So in Q2, I was watching again Q2 qualifying today, I said, but there's a really cool onboard lap that they showed during the session of Stroll. And I picked this one out because Stroll gets a lot of stick, right? Watch this onboard lap. And watch how many times he's changing settings on the wheel, because you can see it really well because it's like dark.
Yeah.
And props to him or anyone that does this, because the amount of times he's changing settings and how quick he's doing it while flying around the lap, it's a super interesting watch. So I thoroughly recommend you go and find that. Vettel, sorry, just real quick,
like one of the things that they are changing around those laps is like you've got. There's so many different demands on a qualifying lap in terms of like, what's the best brake balance for this long straight braking corner? What's the breast brake balance? What's breast. The best?
Get the double the D cups out on the brake balance.
Yeah. Damn it. What's the best brake balance setting for this corner? You know, like you've got a longer corner that's a faster entry, but braking and the brake balance have a significant impact on the actual car balance when you're cornering. Especially on the entry. So in the way you heat up the tires to the corner. So the guys and gals will have been working on that settings all weekend from P1, P2, P3, dialing it in. What's the schedule? And all the drivers that have a high CPU are the ones that can find that and adjust to it. Because every corner you're trying to optimize the slip on all four tires, get the right balance, probably changing some differential settings and everything else. So when drivers get that right, it's super cool to see that. And that's a performance engineer's bread and butter in qualifying is dialing in the brake and the diff to get the most out of the car balance, because you will always be changing those settings, chasing the balance through the session. You're like, okay, Q1, all right, let's say turn 5 braking doesn't feel right. Okay, we got a different map. Try in turn 5, try this setting now. And they'll be having those conversations when the driver's in the garage with the performance engineer, and they'll be going through it, trying to get the most out of it. Because when you're anywhere on the grid, but to take, for example, a team like Aston Martin, you could be out in Q3, or you could be out in Q1, or you could be make it into Q3. And Lance didn't make it out of Q2. He qualified 14th. But Seb did manage to put the Aston into Q3.
Yeah,
his
he
final
did.
F1 qualifying session.
Even though he was constantly upset and complaining about running into traffic on the last corner. Understandable.
As was everybody.
Yeah, understandable, given the shenanigans that were happening there. But he did it. So well done him into Q3. Danny Ric into Q3 as well, which...
Go on, lad.
Not very common
no.
This year, sadly.
No, but...
yeah.
We'll have more on him in a second.
But we lost Grosjean, Stroll, Mick, Tsunoda, and Alonso. Alonso was a bit of a surprise, but I just don't think he managed to get that lap together.
He's in full implosion
yeah,
mode.
He's
leaving the team. Leaving the team, middle fingers, see you cunts later.
Yeah, he checked
out. Dark Lord. Yeah, but Zhou has been super impressive. And somebody said this earlier, and Zhou never won F2, but Zhou's been super impressive as a rookie. And he's done a really good job all season. And he's very fashionable as well. So he's got the drip. He's got some pace.
Yeah, he does.
I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do with another season in Formula One, because definitely he's been impressive.
Yeah, he's definitely earned it. So,
yes,
one rookie of the year.
Only but, rookie, right?
Yeah, I was going to say it's not hard because he was the only one, but there you go.
Oh, heck. Oh, heck.
But yeah, no, he set out his stall this year, and I think he's done quite well, even when he had that mad Silverstone shunt at the start.
That was frightening, man.
I know, right? So,
but
yeah.
Like you sometimes you might see drivers take a confidence hit in like that, like because that's like an absolutely catastrophic, life-threatening, severe crash. It's horrifying. But he doesn't have that self-preservation.
No, he was like, "Fuck it,
firing." Yeah, it's full send, lads.
Yeah, lads. So big up him. Q3. So what I found interesting is that the session ended with Hamilton having the purple sector one. And he may have had enough in the tank for a second row start, but he had a mistake in the final sector. But the bit I was interested in was in the interview afterwards, he said there was issues with the temperature splits on the brakes, which we've experienced throughout the whole season. That's the first I've heard of that from Mercedes.
They've been mentioning brakes a couple of times since the break. That it's been, I've caught it a couple of times, but I don't think it's been discussed often. Let's say outside of a session, yeah, like it'll just be one of those throwaways that they talk about. But okay. I've heard it a couple of times. But
Could you explain temperature splits on the brakes for perhaps people that aren't quite?
I'm a failed F1 engineer. I don't really know about them. Actually, that was also part of my bread and butter. Probably what's happened, like they've probably fit new brakes. I'm not sure if they're doing new material starting in P3. I think they will be before we just put new material on every session. So you'd run out, you use shit set in P1, possibly a new set in P2, run that set in P3, then you'd rebuild the brakes with new material for qualifying. But now I think they're running new material from P3. But probably what's happening is when you don't brake hard enough in a straight line, you can develop a temperature split in the brake. So basically one brake doesn't work particularly well. The other one gets hot, it starts working better. And because it's hotter and it produces more grip, it generates more bite the next time you brake. And this split in brake temperatures is kind of like self-fulfilling. And that's one of those things you have to be very, on a lot of this brake material, you have to be very confident on the braking applications in a straight line. And one of the things that's probably hurt that is their outlap preparation. Because you've, you know, say you're following people and you've, you know, been in traffic and you haven't been able to do a good solid, you know, 200 kilometer an hour down to 90, like braking stop to get a big hit of temperature into the brakes. So that's problematic. But Mercedes seem to be mentioning it quite a bit more. So potentially they've done something with their cooling or rim heating or anything else that will impact how the brakes are heated and cooled and so on. So super interesting there.
Yeah, and, there you go. Red Bull, 1-2 in qualifying, which is their first front row lockout of the year, and their first since 2018, which I thought was quite surprising.
That blows my mind. I would have thought that they had a 1-2 this year, but they haven't.
Nope, it's the first since 2018. That was
heck.
So yeah, it worked out quite well for Checo. He got a good toe, I think, from Max to help bring him up there.
I looked at the data, and I don't think it was that strong.
Was it not? Okay, I'll refer to you because I haven't looked at it.
No, but I thought the same thing because the team were like, yeah, big ups. Unless there's something super skewed with the fast F1 data, which there was something messed up, but usually you can tell top speed deltas, even if the corners are misaligned. I think it was worth a couple of hundredths tops. They were within 4 seconds of each other, so that's not a massive toe. It's not like... It wasn't like one of those like Monza slingshot modes where they line it up and go wham, and you know they grab like ninth gear and Days of Thunder, that shit. It wasn't that. They were like, Max was out first, about a 4 second gap. Checo was behind. In terms of straight line speed, he probably found a couple hundredths, less than half a tenth of a second, less than a tenth of a second tops on that lap. But it was a solid qualifying lap from both of them. Max scrappily getting it together in the end. It wasn't a perfect lap.
Daniel Ric got into Q3, but it was pointless really because he could only manage P10, but that would turn into a P13 because he was still carrying that penalty from Brazil from the Magnussen contact.
Yeah, when he just sniffed Magnussen's gearbox a little bit.
So it ended Verstappen, Perez, Charles, Sainz, Hamilton, Russell, Norris, Ocon, Vettel, and Ricciardo.
It wasn't like I was enjoying seeing like, you know, Hamilton purple sector one, green sector two, and then yellow sector three. And it's like one of those, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, bummer. But anyway, that was qualifying. Mm. Did anything crazy happen Saturday night, or did we rock straight into Sunday, I think?
Not that I can recall.
Yeah, so the only change is we've got the 3 grid place penalty for Danny Ric on the grid. So the the top 8 or so are fine. Then Nando goes into P10. And they shift around for that. So we've got Seb and Nando on the back row of the top 10. Tsunoda, Schumacher, Ricciardo, Stroll, Zhou, Magnussen, Gasly, Bottas, Albon, Latifi. But the first 3 rows, Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes.
Yeah, that was very pleasing to my, what do you call it? Obsessive compulsive disorder.
OCD, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, yes. Yes.
Yeah. So that was qualifying. And now, through the power of editing, there's going to be an ad here in the podcast.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And now we can move on to the race.
Love that. So the race was pretty straightforward, honestly. So last year was basically a one stop, everybody, and it was just like the snooze fest until the Tiffy bend it and then all the shit happened. So yeah. I don't even want to touch that. I wouldn't touch that with Dan's. But this was an interesting race. It was predominantly a two stop race, but a couple people made the one stop work. Verstappen and Leclerc did run away with the one stop, but Perez was catching Leclerc at the end of the race, which is super interesting. Leclerc goes on to seal P2 in the Drivers' Championship, 3 points ahead of Perez. So that means if Verstappen and Perez had swapped or whatever else in Brazil, Leclerc would have still won by 1 point. So
yeah. So again, this is how bored I was. I rewatched the race again today as well as qualifying. Perez's first pit stop, his outlap, he got... I don't know if maybe it was his outlap or the lap after, but he had a bit of a ding-dong with Vettel, which I think held him up a bit. So I wonder if that never happened.
It was the first stop.
So I wonder if that never happened and he managed to get past Vettel and that would be the end of it. I wonder if he had enough at the end to have taken Leclerc.
Ah, that's a really good point. And I'm just looking at the race trace now, which is on the buymeacoffee.com/breakF1 if you're into that.
Oh, here we go.
Plug that. It's a super cool thing. Like if you want all the race data and traces, if you're a big nerd and you're listening to this podcast, buymeacoffee.com/breakF1. I upload race and qualifying analysis reports with all this stuff that we're talking about. It is there. So looking at Perez's race now, that first stop, basically they wanted him to be a bit faster in that first stop. If he had a little bit more pace and hadn't tailed off, he would have cleared Vettel. That would have helped him out massively. And then they would have basically, if he had not lost that time, Max would have stopped behind him. Max would have been on the tire saving one stop. Checo could have gone on for an optimal two stop race. So Checo didn't have to deal with that. But it looked like at the times when Checo came up on the back of Max around lap 22, his pace did suffer quite a bit. And it was one of those things that he didn't get within 1 second of DRS, but it was like, he's like, I'm being held up here a little bit. And it's like, I think the team was looking at that.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I know. It's like, well, I, but you saw it with a couple of other people as well. I saw it the exact same thing, but we saw it with a couple of other people later on, which was interesting. I'm struggling to find those exact ones. It was Sainz coming up on the back of Leclerc, actually, but Leclerc had newer tires on when they stopped after his first stop. But the thing to take away from this is, I think if Perez had a little bit more pace, his first stint was not ideal. He got into quite a big bit of degradation and was not able to hang on to Max. He had to stop early. He lost pace. But if that would have worked, he would have stopped earlier, put on a fresher tire, gone faster, been ahead of Verstappen, and then boxed basically as soon as he got in the way of Verstappen, and he would have beat Leclerc. Because if you look at the race trace, he's almost in DRS range of Leclerc on the final lap. Other things that got in the way of his race was having to come through Hamilton, who was also trying the one stop. He had to work for it. They had a couple of switchbacks. Super cool. I got to see a bit of racing there. It was like last year, we're just waiting. Whereas last year, we were watching Lewis leave Max in the dust. And this year, we're like, is Perez going to catch Leclerc? And you're looking at the timings, like, if he can keep this, you know, tenths of a second, 1 second a lap difference, he'll catch him. Took him a little bit too long to get around Hamilton. Hamilton was returning no favors. There are no favors.
Well, no, I
feel like Perez got a little bit unlucky and just didn't have as much pace as they needed to have in that first stint.
And that cost him his race. And people are like, oh, why didn't Max give up? When I don't think there was an option. Max is record hunting, wins in a season. And I feel like that's probably more valuable to Max than P2 in the Drivers' Championship.
Yep.
We go back to the single-mindedness of Verstappen. And it's not a surprise, like, which is, love it or hate it, we're fine.
Yeah. I've completely forgotten what I was going to say now.
Hamilton, first DNF mechanical with the car this season. Yeah. It's been a super, despite the fact it started quite far off the pace and later in the season has come closer, especially at the higher downforce circuits. Hamilton DNF'd, hydraulics issue potentially related to early race
getting launched. What do we make of that? Curb. I hate the sausage curbs. Every time we have one of these incidences and the car gets launched, I just think, why do we have these sausage curbs?
It wasn't there last year when he...
No, I don't think it was there last year, was it? Maybe they put it in because of that. I don't know.
We're not gonna call you out for running off here, but you know what? Next year we're gonna put a sausage there, and that's gonna absolutely bone you. And
and it did. So I mean, I'm fairly confident in saying that that probably caused his hydraulics issue later on in the race, whether it was a sensor issue or something like that, because he had some fun and games all throughout the race. Over the radio.
It looked like, from what I could tell, he was low on battery after fighting with Sainz, saying he was losing performance. Because his second stint performance, he was on one stop. His second stint performance was very good. So I'm not really, maybe the car was damaged and he was just had a lot more pace in hand. But he was basically going to go on to finish. I reckon Sainz was going to get him. Sainz was on a much newer tire. Sainz was coming through that. He was going to finish fifth. But DNF, unfortunately.
Yeah, and during that turn one incident where Hamilton rejoined the track, it's sort of the way it works is he got a bit of run up, so he managed to overtake Sainz. But then
Hamilton left the door wide open for him, basically.
Yeah, but then the team came over the radio and said that Hamilton should give it back to Carlos, which I think was missed.
Yeah. No, exactly. That was because we had engineers telling Hamilton to give the place back because the team felt that we're going to get slapped by this. They investigated it and then he'd given the place back and no further action. So I think they were going to ask them to give it back.
Yeah.
And the team was like, let's just get this over with, make it clean and you can have another go.
Yeah. But I did like how he gave the place back like two turns before the DRS zone. So he immediately took it back, which I thought was hilarious and smart.
Yeah, absolutely. But like, that's the kind of thing, like, get that CPU working. He's got shitloads of capacity. He knows what he's doing. And that was smart. Because you do it in a way which does not impact your race, unlike Gasly, where they just leave it out in the other race, which, what was that, three races ago? That was, yeah. Mercedes had some other woes during the race. That was big unfortunate.
Hold that thought. I've got World Cup news. Wales have equalised against the USA with 85 minutes to go.
USA.
So there you go. Oh, and it was a penalty as well.
Oh, no.
There you go.
Cheaters.
Yep.
Cheaters.
So, yeah, Mercedes, continued issues.
What happened?
They botched up Russell's pit stop, didn't they? Delay on the left rear? One of the rears.
I think it was right rear.
And then sort of panicked a little bit. I don't know if it was George or the guy that controls the lights, but basically let him straight out into the path of one of the McLarens, which was a bit dicey.
Yeah, George, a couple of races, like, nah, I see it. It's okay, mate. Because they did warn him, because that's one of the things they do, is the engineer will be watching the stop. If there's a car coming, they'll say something like, alongside, car alongside. And George did clock it, but the McLaren slammed on their brakes, and they got slapped with a five-second penalty for it. And George just got on with it. And he was like, right, we need to make the strategy work. So, fair enough. But those things happen. That was unfortunate.
Because
George has been... As much as we've given him abuse for being a little bit of a weapon at times this season, he's had a solid season, the lad. And I think after seeing him hop in, was it Bahrain the other year, and his performance in the Williams being solid, he's a dude. He's a contender.
He also gave us a new one this weekend. Did you hear him? I think maybe
no.
It's either in free practice or one of the qualifying. They told him a message, and he came back and he said,
Righto,
and just I thought that was quite amusing. So we got
Blimey and righto. So there you go.
That's Cotswold's life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Righto.
Righto.
But so, I mean, look, this race is basically a series of teams having unfortunate events. You know, Perez missing out on the pace, Hamilton with the clash in the DNF, Russell unsafe release, and realistically, Russell's race, that unsafe release and further 5 second penalty maybe cost him a chance at fighting Sainz. He basically was covering Sainz. I don't think he had the pace to overtake Sainz. He would have followed Sainz to the end, basically. I think Hamilton would have got him as a result of that 5 second penalty. But if he was closer to Sainz, Russell might have come through Hamilton on track if that had happened. But the Dark Lord himself on his final race for Alpine.
Yeah. What was it? Lap 27?
Yeah. Blows it up.
Yeah. He did another one of his. Was it Mexico where you reckon he just pulled the clutch in and just blew the engine?
I think that was, yeah, or Singapore or something. He's just like, fuck it.
I want to go home. Yeah, I'm done. See you later.
He mecha-chromed it. But people have been talking about this. I didn't look at it until today. Alonso's had 5 retirements this season. Ocon's only had 2.
Conspiracy.
I reckon it's just, I don't know. Is it karma?
Well, apparently this was a water leak. Chat is telling us this is what it came down to.
Ooh.
I don't know, man. Just sometimes that's just the way the cookie crumbles.
Yeah, it is. It's unlucky, but so be it. So he's done. He's on to Aston Martin, so him and Lance Stroll can take each other out every race and take some of the distraction from Verstappen and Hamilton crashing into each other at every race. We'll have two things.
Sorry, just going back to Alonso, I like how this is a little water leak, but he's perfectly fine to launch his car into fucking lower orbit in America and finish the race.
Yeah, but that's one of those things. It's like, you know, they're probably, this is one of those things where they need to use this power unit through the test, probably. I would have just fucking sent it. But at some point, if it's a catastrophic water failure or it's a fast leak, the thing will grenade itself in an unpredictable manner. So they're like, you know what? This thing's actually chalked. We can see that you're losing water pressure rapidly. Just park it, mate. It's not worth it.
Yep.
Fair enough. 56.
What other top retirements have we had? Because I can see you've written this little note and I don't want you to go to waste.
Oh, yeah. Other retirements in the season. Sainz has had 6 retirements, not necessarily all mechanical. Some of those are mistakes. Bottas 5, Tsunoda 5, Latifi and Albon 4. I'm sure there's a couple up there, but you know, Sainz, he beached himself a couple times. He's had an engine in Austria. I'm sure he's had a couple brain fade DNFs as well.
Yeah, we'll probably go through all this in more detail. We'll do like a proper post-season review.
Yeah, the blessing of the Dark Lord award.
Yeah, the post-season award ceremony.
Yeah, and real quick, if anybody's listening on this. We'll put a feeler out on Twitter later today, but if there's any specific episodes that you or like topics that you want us to break down and talk about, we're going to put together some episodes where we go away and do some research and you will get our takes on it and we can chat about it and kind of relive it. So if there's anything, we'll put a thing out on Twitter after this thing goes live. Reply to it.
Anyone says Abu Dhabi 2021, you're getting blocked.
No, seriously. I went back and watched that because I'm working on my YouTube video for the week. Abu Dhabi 2021 was fucking boring. Like, It was everybody on a one stop. Latifi crashes. The rest is history. It's not something that anybody wants to relive, honestly.
True. And speaking of Abu Dhabi and Latifi crashing, what was his retirement gift on lap 39?
Go on.
Him and Schumacher having their little synchronized spin, which was beautiful in slow motion. I just want to say
that was dope.
But yeah, to be fair, I don't think we can blame Latifi for that one. I think Mick just had a bit of brain fade, clipped Latifi into the corner.
Yeah, and he wasn't expecting him to be going that slow. I mean, he's gauging it, and he just kind of rolls in quite a bit too much speed, loses a bit of front end, and a little bit Daniel on Magnussen kind of feel to it, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I like how they reviewed it and they just went no further action. They were just like, I can't be fucking bothered to deal with these two anymore. They're retiring at the end of this race. Fuck it, let them sort it out themselves.
Yeah. Just real quick, people in the live stream are talking about. So that's one thing I'm thinking about doing over on Twitch during the off season is firing up some of the old historic races and doing a historic race watch along where we all basically open up F1 TV Pro, queue up a race, watch it start to finish. So to hold us over, I'm not going to do it on weekends. I'll probably do it like an evening so people in the US can catch it. But we'll watch. There's been a couple of great recommendations. Brazil, there's a couple of Brazil GPs that are excellent to watch. Maybe some classic Seb moments. So we'll do some. We'll do. I will relive Barcelona 2016, my first race win.
Yeah, here we go.
Emotional.
30 seconds. 30 seconds.
My first Formula One race, Barcelona 2012, the cursed Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm.
Maldonado wins, and then their Williams garage burns down from about fuel Bowser fire.
Yeah, man, that was serious.
That was crazy.
Yeah, you were there for that. Is that what you just said? You were there for that? Fucking hell, man.
We could do a co-watch along through Crashgate Baku with the boys.
Oh, yeah. We'll get the shirts made that say I survived the Baku debrief.
Yeah, exactly. We got anything else for the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix? Just to close it up, what do we got?
Hamilton's retirement. We spoke about that, didn't we? Where did Vettel finish in the end? Didn't he finish 10th?
Sebastian Vettel, P10. So if anybody saw it, there were some post-race procedures where the top three go onto the grid and do donuts, and they specifically made provisions for Sebastian Vettel after he finished the race to pull his car onto the grid, do some donuts on his own, and be a part of the final ceremony of the race, which I thought was a beautiful touch. Ross Braun is retired this year, so from working with the FIA.
And, but that was announced quite a while ago, wasn't it? I think they said at the end of the year, and I don't really think anyone really mentioned it, really. They sort of said hello to him on the grid, and that was it, really.
Yeah, cheers, Ross.
I didn't see any big sort of posts about him or anything like that.
He's a tall lad. I remember running into him, like having a chat with him at Formula Student 2011 in the UK. I'm like, that's Ross Braun. I'd really like to work for you one day. And he said, nah, you're fucking shit. Go work for Red Bull.
He said, you're mid, you're washed.
Yeah.
Get out of it.
But, that's super cool. A lot of people are giving him a lot of flack saying, oh, Ross said that the regulations would be better. And I got into some shit fight over that, which I don't really want to talk about. But realistically, Ross didn't say that. So if you read, it's on my Twitter.
Yeah.
You'll see it.
He took one look at you. Ross Braun took one look at you and said, you got no wheel knowledge.
No wheel.
No wheel. You're out.
Oh, bloody Yanks. One of my favorite comments is, I'm sick and tired of seeing Americans talking about Formula One. And it's some dude with his fucking Honda Civic. I'm like, bro, you don't want the smoke. I'm a shit Formula One engineer and I got sacked. Right?
You do not want the smoke. Jesus Christ. Listen to us middle-aged old men beefing people on the internet.
Oh, that. All right.
Fucking chin you first. So,
you want some?
You want some? Okay. I'll give it you. I was going to make a mention about, did Aston Martin stuff up Vettel's strategy?
Honestly, I looked at it. And it was the same kind of thing as what happened with Perez. If it had gone slightly differently, Seb would have been in a lot better spot. So looking at this, I don't think they fucked him. Like, realistically, if he had had a little bit more pace early in the race and not been bunged up in traffic so much, he would have come out ahead of the bunch of cars and he would have finished ahead of Ricardo, potentially ahead of Lance. And it's just a matter of a little bit too much traffic, not making the most out of the first stint, because that's the boring part of the one stop is if your first stint isn't gold, if you're going onto a harder tire for, you know, 2/3 or more of the race, what are you going to do? You can't just magic pace out of nothing, you know? And especially when you can't, for example, Leclerc and Verstappen had the luxury of being able to lead and control the pace, whereas guys in the back, very much had to contest with traffic, cars that they may have been faster than, pitting into traffic on guys on dying tires. You're like, mate, I'm on fresh bags, let me through. And they're like, sorry, and you're in a slower car. So it's just unfortunate. I don't think they fucked his strategy. It was suboptimal in the end. But if he had had a slightly different race, I mean, to be fair, Lance Stroll has been a demon on race starts. Lance Stroll making up 2 on the race start. And then realistically, Seb holding on to his position at the race start, making up some progress when people are pitting early, and then just running into too much deg, getting dropped too far back into traffic and being slightly suboptimal. I mean, if you look at their gap on the track, they were within five, 6 seconds of each other when they finished the race. Just check the times. But yeah, I mean, it was unfortunate. And I know Seb wanted to have a better final race than that, but
I think he did well.
Yeah, I mean, he finished.
Points finish in that car is probably quite admirable.
Yeah, he finished seven seconds behind.
Danny Ric finished in ninth. Points finish for him too. Lance Stroll in eighth, so double points for Aston.
Go on, lads.
Yeah,
well done.
Esty Besty in P7. Norris in P6 and took the fastest lap as well.
Yeah, Norris banging in that fast lap at the end.
He's the only one as well, isn't he, out of the top three teams that got a podium this year.
Ooh.
Not Imola. Was it Imola? No.
I don't even remember that, man. That's freaking ancient history.
Yeah. Lando. I think I might have been sleeping on him a little bit.
I think Lando's sound.
Quite a good season.
I'm just really hoping that Lando or Daniel realize that I'm also really into cameras, and they should definitely talk to Leica to give me a hookup on their rangefinder.
I did see that.
Digital Leicas. Because
I got a Nikon D810. Here we go. We're going into
camera
geekery. And I've had it for quite a while. And then I saw these photography accounts they've done, and I looked and I saw the little red label, and I was like, oh, yeah, of course. Of course.
I've got my M6 right there in the camera, in the case, but fuck me, developing 35 millimeter film and then scanning it is such a pain in the ass. So I'm over it. But I think that's the race. Well, let's go back and round up the championship. So driver's championship, Verstappen 454, Leclerc 308, Perez 305. There's a big gap. Big man Russell, King George, 275 ahead of Sainz. 246. Mr. Consistent, man. George has been consistent all season. I will concede Lewis has not been particularly lucky this season. Like, you know, it's just not gone in his favor. And that's racing sometimes. I do not by any means think that Russell beating Hamilton this season has any implication on skill level, talent, Lewis fading. I think Mercedes is going to be back next season and Lewis is going to be fucking hungry.
George has done really well, though. He's done a lot better than I thought he would, stepping up into that big team.
Exactly. So, Sainz 246, Hamilton 240, Norris 122, big man, Ocon 92, Alonso 81, Bottas, Ricciardo only 37 points, tied with Danny Ric, K-Mag 25, Gasman 23, Stroll 18, Schumacher 12, Tsunoda 12, Zhou only 6 points, but he's done an awesome job in that car. Albon 4, Latifi 2, De Vries 2, and Hülkenberg 0, as he stood in for the first two races.
Yep, there you go.
Teams championship. This is a good one. Red Bull, Orca Red Bull Racing, 759. Scuderia, Ferrari, 554. Mercedes, only 515. Mercedes, you know, let's be.
They came in 19 behind into Abu Dhabi, but with that retirement, it didn't really work out.
No, and unless the Ferraris both took each other out, they weren't going to beat them in that anyway. Alpine, 173. McLaren, 159. Oof. Alfa Romeo 55, Aston Martin 55, Haas 37, AlphaTauri 35, Williams 8. I'm a little bit disappointed in AlphaTauri.
You want to hear something?
Go on.
I won't go into it too in depth because this will be a YouTube video I do in the off season.
Ooh, let's go. So on YouTube plug.
Out of the 10 championship positions, how many do you think I got right? Print in like my pre-season prediction.
None of them.
7 out of 10.
No shot, dude.
Yep.
No way.
You know, Will.
Dan, engine mode, wheel knowledge, good boy 11. Fucking hell, man. I thought my prediction on, the Budapest Grand Prix that we did with the last lap where I predicted the top five, I thought that was pretty sick. But 7 out of 10 over a whole season, that's just wheel knowledge. That can't be luck.
Exactly. See?
So you
I'm a dark horse.
Did you get Mercedes right?
Yeah, I got top three all correct.
Oh my God. Mercedes, you fuck.
Yeah,
go on.
I cursed myself. I'll go through it. I got the top three right. I didn't have Alpine in fourth. I had McLaren in fifth. I had Haas and Williams in the right places. And then there were some others. I think Alfa Romeo I got in the right place.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's pretty sick. Three in McLaren. I know that off the top of my head. I got that right.
That's freaking awesome.
Because I remember
bro.
Saying, what else begins with M for McLaren? And I said mid. I'll put them fifth.
Midlaren. I hope. And realistically, like, to be fair, Ross Brawn did say that one of the midfield teams could be competing for podiums. And unfortunately, the midfield team that was competing for podiums this year was Mercedes. I think they've now, towards the end of the season, they've bridged the gap. They've got a lot more understood about the W13. Hopefully that transfers into the W14 so we can see a three-way battle. But we really, really, really need to see Alpine and McLaren bridging that gap. Williams hopefully making some improvements. They'll have two sound drivers. Albon's solid. And now he'll have a comparison in De Vries, hopefully. Let's see. AlphaTauri, Sargeant. I was thinking of AlphaTauri ahead of time. But yeah, I hope they figure that out. Super brain fart. I can't keep up with all these old young drivers coming back.
No.
But
yeah, so there you go. Basically, that was Abu Dhabi. That was the season.
Bit of a mid-race, honestly. It was just anticlimax.
Not the right circuit to have a season ender on.
Brazil final season.
They paid all the money so they get to be at the end.
They need Brazil as a final race this season. Oh, that's such a good racetrack.
Correct.
Chaos, man. Anything can happen. Timo Glock can happen, you know?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. So, this is that part of the episode. Is it time?
Oh, yeah. Go on.
Fraud Watch.
Fraud Watch.
What is Fraud Watch, Dan?
Fraud Watch is where we pick something bad at a weekend and we stick them on Fraud Watch and basically say, sort it out.
Do we ever do anything with people that have been on Fraud Watch? Like,
keeping a tally. Maybe next season we'll keep a tally.
Yeah. I think next season what we need to do is every week we add somebody to Fraud Watch and we determine if they're on the list or off the list and see who stays on Fraud Watch the longest. And in order to be removed from Fraud Watch, maybe they need to at least be like semi-nominated for the next segment of the show. They don't have to make it, but they have to at least be a nominee. You know, they have to do a good thing.
Maybe they have to go. They have to go on like five race probation.
Oh, we'll come up with a system. So we'll get something, a segment to really get people invested in the time history of the Fraud Watch. But maybe a fraud league table. Oh, the suggestions are great. But why don't you tell us who your nomination is for Fraud Watch this week?
Yeah, so I had two. So the first one that didn't make the cut was going to be the sausage curbs.
Yeah.
But after seeing the end of race footage of Mick Schumacher doing donuts, I'm giving it to Haas for them telling him to stop doing it.
I owe the chief engineer came on the radio. He's like, we need to save the engine. Don't do donuts. And he's like,
I love you too.
I love you. Yeah.
My guy spin them up is what I'm saying. Justice for Mick Schumacher's donuts.
Yeah. I would have told him, mate, do one. Because I'm going to do this donut, bro. Oh, man. You know who I've got on my list this week?
I don't, but you're going to tell me.
I've got Renault, the engine manufacturer, on my list this week. Like, they've finally wheeled some performance into their car, and they keep fucking losing it when they've got a good shot at solid points haul. Like, I know Ocon's only on two, Alonso on five, and it's just not all those are engine, but I feel like most of them are. It's bad, man. Like, they've got like no, this makes me like thank fuck they rebranded it to Alpine, because nobody knows what that is, especially not Americans. But like, who wants to buy a Renault after seeing their engines? Yeah. Like, at least they're fast now. Fast V6 is a good V6, but hopefully they can here's what I hope. I hope they improve the reliability, because I would like to see Gasman and Ocon getting to drive each other into the wall before the engine explodes.
Yeah, well, it's only taken 8 years of the hybrid era.
Yeah, maybe
the ninth year next year. Maybe they'll finally crack it.
Ninth time's a charm. Doubt. Right. We've got a new bumper this week. Thank you, Michael. You absolute legend. We love you, Michael Kiss. But
big up, Michael.
Ready for this one?
Go.
Oh, you're a good boy.
I am. I'm a good boy.
This is Engine Mode Good Boy, which is basically somebody trying to gaslight Dan, calling him, oh, look who it is. It's Engine Mode Good Boy. But we've turned it into something positive because this is a pretty uplifting podcast.
Yeah.
So who are we nominating for Engine Mode Good Boy this week, Dan?
Listen, Engine Mode Good Boy this week, right? Norbert Vettel, all the footage of him absolutely vibing in the Aston Martin garage. Seb's dad. I was all in on Seb's dad this weekend. What a legend.
He's a dude. He's a super dude. He's just like, you don't see too much of him. He doesn't really make himself seen. He's around a lot. I'm pretty sure he like a lot of the races, he'll stay in a camper or something somewhere and just kind of be like off the grid, just chilling out. What a dude.
Yeah, what a dude. So that was really nice to see him and Seb vibing at his last race weekend.
I struggled for an Engine Mode Good Boy this week, honestly. I really struggled for an Engine Mode Good Boy. Like, I wanted to find somebody that did something exceptional this week, but I don't really feel like I found that, which is kind of frustrating because I've been racking my brain over it. If anybody's in the live stream, I need some suggestions for an Engine Mode Good Boy because we're struggling. Let's look up. Thank you, Hennessy. But Ferrari did a really good job this weekend on the strategy.
Okay.
They called it right. I mean, they covered Red Bull, but they were prepared to cover, and they basically, signs on the two stop, Leclerc on the one stop, and they just didn't have the pace this weekend. Max kind of managed it, but they did a decent job, honestly. And it sucks because I think that's
fair award.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like I have to take a step back because this whole season we've been trash talking some of the operational decisions they've made. But at the same time, there are people behind that, you know, and it sucks to you know, because that could have been me or could have been, you know, you. It's like or anybody that works in industry, it could be anybody. It's like
nobody would have put me in any position of authority like that.
Okay, fine. Well, it wasn't going to be me because I fucking removed myself from that equation. I was like, what? Spend the rest of my life traveling to the racing circuits to be a clipboard driver, babysitter, tire pressure monitor? Fuck that.
Chris, can you tell me how it felt during that run?
The car has too much flop in it. Can we do less flop?
Yeah, anyway.
I'm not very happy with the starting procedures.
I'm not very happy with your stopping procedures, you fucking dork.
Hey.
But anyway, question. That's my Engine Mode Good Boy. Ferrari did a good job, and I think hopefully they don't throw the baby out with the bathwater kind of situation. Hopefully Ferrari come back next season. They have a strong car again. They iron out the kinks operationally. And they have a better structure. Mercedes W14, it's going to be a weapon. They're going to be challenging for the championship win. And maybe we'll see McLaren or Alpine take the jump up.
I'm just laughing. This break can just see me laughing on my webcam. Someone in the chat has just reminded me that I need to give a shout out to the moment that Charles, when he was talking on the radio thanking the team at the end of the race, he accidentally hit the drinks button and nearly waterboarded himself.
Oh, I heard about that. Somebody was like, oh, he sneezed. It was Glitz. It was Sarah. She was like, oh, he sneezed on the radio. It's like, no, he was waterboarding himself.
Brilliant.
Iconic. Oh. Rory says, did anyone see that Binotto rated his Ferrari season 7.5 out of 10? Mate, you had a championship winner. You guys were probably lost out on the regs change. That's a 5 out of 10 season. Sorry, mate. The eternal optimist, and he'll be better off as a result of the optimism. But why don't we wrap this episode here? We're going to call it a night. We've got the Red Bull Racing show run in Milton Keynes on the 10th of this month.
Yes.
Dan and I will be there. We might have to grab a beer at the old Brewdog afterwards or something, hey?
Hey.
If anybody wants to join us, We'll see you there. But I think with that, we've got some episodes. We'll do a couple more episodes this year.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably take a break into December, early January, come back with some more stuff, come back with a little bit of a structure.
Yeah. Some
more investment for the season, and do some more cool stuff. And we'll find a couple of guests and everything else. So,
yeah, we're going to, by the end of next year, we're going to blag our way onto the grid.
Yeah, it's going to happen. We'll get there. Yep. We've both got some stuff we'll be working on over the winter. You maybe have a look at some more YouTube. I'm definitely going to be cranking out a couple more YouTubes on Break F1 on YouTube. Keep in touch with us on Twitter, Instagram. We'll keep vibing, thriving. I'll keep pushing out some data analysis. And we'll hopefully have an episode out for you guys next week, and maybe somebody helping us pay for our TikToks to get edited.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's go. Anyway,
enjoy you your guys, off seasons, basically.
Enjoy your off seasons.
We'll still be here.
We'll be here.
Enjoy your off season and fuck off.
Yeah, we'll see you guys later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.